Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired, break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Thanks for tuning in for a second Monday's mentoring session with Jennifer Nelson. Thanks for coming back.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, in our last session, we really were enjoying our conversation. You were giving me a really good perspective about the field of being a graphic designer, the ebbs and flows, the challenges in 2009 when the stock market really plummeted and all of our lives kind of changed. It changed the trajectory of many industries. They cut back, especially in the graphic design field. And you found your way through that, through some long-term contracts, and shifting kind of the way you were working, and just kind of learning how to reprice and restructure your work a little bit, and you worked more. Is that pretty accurate?
Pretty accurate. Pretty good.
Yeah, what would make it more accurate?
No, you were pretty good based on what we talked about. You bet. Yeah. I think you kind of nailed it.
Okay. And I would like to continue our conversation and help the listeners know more about you. And we've had a lot of questions about with emerging entrepreneurs of how do they handle the challenges of the finances and the unpredictability of it. And managing the risk regarding entrepreneurship. And we talked about in our last interview that in the research, they still describe small business ownership, they describe entrepreneurship, and freelancers. They're different types of people taking risks with their money. So I normally don't get caught up in kind of the categories. As much as if anybody is out there taking risks with their finances and the dealing with the uncertainty and the unpredictability of their future in a way where they're trying to just create a livelihood in a non-traditional way. And more people, as there's organized classes around entrepreneurship and small business ownership, people are getting the tools of how to take charge of their own lives in a really unique way, and they're pioneering. You can see it all over the internet in all such a huge variety of ways, and I think that that's what the internet has provided us, is an opportunity to really take charge of our lives in different ways. Like if you look at how people are educating themselves, they're really expanding the online courses, Coursera.org. You can take free classes from different universities all over the country. Or Khan Academy, K-H-A-N .org. They took a Blackboard. I don't know if the founder, I'm forgetting his name, but he took a lesson that he had from a nephew across the country. He wasn't doing well in math. And so he started sending him some things through the internet. And then pretty soon he started videotaping himself on a Blackboard working out math problems and sent it to him over the internet. And so he decided, you know, over time that if his nephew was having these issues, I bet a lot of kids are struggling with some of the same concepts regarding math. And so now if you go to the website, he's got all different categories of from geography to small business finance to how the banking industry works to, you know, different things you can imagine where people can get free education.
That's great.
Yeah. And so you had talked about in our first interview about how the graphic design industry has changed since yes. Macintosh came into the picture you and bet. Developed all these different software programs mm-hmm. that have helped, like Illustrator, mm-hmm. have helped make the work more efficient. But what's different about it now is the artistic process is still the same.
Yeah, it's just a different medium for something that's always existed. You know, if right. you just go back to the whole world of graphic design, they had the tools they had.
Yes.
You know, and it went from etching, you know, mm-hmm. to painting to whatever. I think even Rembrandt created logos for people, you know, but he certainly wasn't working on a computer, obviously. But the tools are different. And so then there's still the, what can you do, what can each individual do with those tools? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just depends on what you dive into and what you learn and what you want to learn and what you're good at. But it's all a big experiment, and the new tool is the computer, and, you know, wet mediums are another conversation.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the fine art world of things that I like, you know, is the...
Which you're expanding more into, right?
Well, you know, it just, you know, as I'm not close to retirement yet, but when I get there, I think it would be really neat to kind of keep doing what I'm doing, because you can do it from anywhere in the world. So that would be a kind of, you know, early retirement, to keep doing what I'm doing, but then do a little more, go up and paint in my studio or build something or, you know, make a mixed media art piece. You know, I still like that whole world of things as well. But
You had in the Galleria in Edina, Minnesota, you were featured as an artist in one of the, you were showcased.
And you came to that show. Thank
yes,
you very
I did.
Much.
Yes. What was the name
was
of the store
you.
That you were showcased
Art
in?
Art Resources Gallery in
yes,
Edina.
Yes, that's
in
it.
Galleria. Yep.
You're yes, right. And so you've got beautiful pieces, and maybe we can take some pictures and put them on the website.
Oh, sure, that would be a great
Or if we can link it to your website?
Oh, sure.
Okay, what is your website?
Well, that one for the fine art is www.jennifernelsonartist.com. So
okay.
My full name with artist on the end of it and .com.
Excellent. All right. That sounds peachy.
Yep. Yeah, it does. And then my other website for my graphic design is called Graphies Artist. And I think you might have asked me about naming earlier, or
yes.
maybe I was just looking at this here. My first business...
just to share with the audience, I had given Jennifer just a list of some of the potential questions that I might ask her, because we have a free-flowing mentoring session. But there's some things where each time I meet with a person, especially on the air, we're going kind of deeper into the work so that our audience can get to know the person behind the venture and really try to understand behind the scenes the inner workings of how one, you know, handles the money and gets the financing, but also what are some of the intricacies of how they do the work, or your thinking is so wonderful, and how you get re-energized by a new client, and you know, you need some degrees of inspiration in your life. And so we want to just keep digging into a little bit deeper ways in which you're doing your work and your livelihood. And I also want to offer, if we stumble into anything, something that might help you work through some different aspects of running a business, because it's never easy. It takes a great amount of commitment, and certainly a discipline that you sit back and do for a very long period of time.
Yes.
And when I say the word entrepreneurship, what does that conjure up for you in your thinking?
It kind of conjures up some lofty goals of bringing a business into this world.
Yes.
And I think I'm more comfortable with the freelancer label. Like you said earlier, or something you said made me think about whether I'm into titles and this and that.
Yes.
And no, I'm not so much into that. I'm just interested in doing the work I love.
Yes.
And trying to get more of it. And when something new comes to me, like that new client who wanted infographics, then that's a new exciting thing. It's like, you know, a dog. It's my new favorite thing, you know. And so, but I try to figure out how can that be a new, I guess, product or an offering that I like to do. A while back, I realized that logos was a thing I liked to do and was good at. And so I've got that resume and that portfolio. And then I've got my drawing portfolio for this consumer research drawing. And now I'd like to kind of grow that product of offering infographics, which is, you know, like I described earlier, what that is. And then, you know, cutting up the graphics so that people have all those elements for a report. Because a lot of people in this, well, in this consumer research industry, they learn the research, they have all this qualitative and quantitative learning, and they need to form it into a PowerPoint report for the client to express what the learnings are.
I see.
And so if they can make that report look more slick with graphics and continuity and sophistication, then that's what I would love for them to have, and I would love to do more of that.
And when, before we kind of moved into this, you were going to just, because I had shared with the audience that I had put together some questions ahead of time that you could look at, and you were going to mention something regarding
one of
the questions.
Oh, I think it was regarding my business name. I think the question was, how long did it take you to form your business name? I quickly wrote not long, but that's actually not true. It was organic, like a lot of things I do. I'm probably less goal-oriented than I am organic. And I think I played with left-hand designs for a while because a lot of creatives are left-handed. As we like to say, we're in our right mind. So we're left-handed, but left-hand designs was one of them. And I played with all kinds of looks and feels. But what I landed on initially for the one that I committed to business cards was Good Design Flies. And then my tagline was some design just sits there, good design flies. Was the idea. And so then my card had various, you know, anything that flew kind of imagery on it, from a paper airplane to a, you know, a balloon or a hot air balloon, or one of them was a trapeze artist. And so that first business card was Good Design Flies,
and
my title,
of
course, was very important to me. And so I just said, I'm going to say I'm a trapeze artist. To which everyone said, are you really? In which case I would say, no, but I am an artist and I am a graphic designer, and I thought it was more fun. Well, that ended up being only a couple conversations before I thought, I want to change the name. And then it occurred to me that I'm a graphic designer. I'm calling myself a trapeze artist. Why not make it graphese artist? And that just seemed to work for me. So I kept the trapeze artist as the logo. I'm a graphese artist, and that just made sense to me.
Okay.
So that's how that name evolved.
When did you start that?
Graphese artist is probably, gosh, at least 10 years now.
Okay.
And then the 10 years before that, Good Design Flies.
Okay.
So
you hung on to that logo, and did you so you started out as a sole proprietor, and then you changed the name to and continued as sole proprietor?
I'm still
business
sole proprietor, yes, doing business as myself. Graphese artist, doing business as graphese artist.
And what about your fine arts business? Is that under a separate name?
Yep,
or you just have a
just
a website.
That's just my name, and my website reflects that, jennifernelsonartist.com.
But all your income is flowed through your sole proprietor graphese artist?
I'm just a sole proprietor in general, and so
yes,
if we're talking about income or whatever, it just all goes into the same. Cool. I'm not a C corp or anything like that, or an S corp. I just kept it simple and report all my income, regardless of the, you know, source it comes from.
Sure.
So my
it all goes,
you know,
through
fine art.
Your entity of graphese artist.
Yes.
Yes.
I guess you're right. Yes.
Like for me, I'm a S corporation, and so I fill out the paperwork, the K-1 form that has my company information on it, and then another form for my personal
Gotcha.
But it's all kind of bundled together.
Yeah.
When you do your taxes. Correct. Is that what you're saying? So yes. Do you fill out a K-1 for your business?
No.
Okay. Well, you know what's interesting is I'm going to have an accountant come yeah. in and I'm going to be having a session with the accountant because Mike Masnick from Masnick Bauer and Associates. Anyways, Mike, we all need a little bit more accounting conversations.
Yes, we do. I just file as a sole proprietor, and yes. I don't know. There's so many forms with numbers and letters associated with them that I just go to my tax lady. She's awesome, and we fill it all out.
So, how well organized are you with your paperwork regarding your business and the bookkeeping of it? Do you do all your bookkeeping, or do you have a bookkeeper as well?
No, that's funny. I do it all by myself, and I'm fairly organized. But I would just say my, you know, receipts collect in a file folder. And sometimes on a good year, I'm doing estimated quarterlies.
Yep.
And on a bad year, I wait till the end and risk the
penalty.
Yep, the penalty. But I'm pretty organized when it comes to, you know, delineating all the receipts and what are your expenses for entertainment and
all the
office
categories.
Supply yes. versus art supply versus the amount of space you use in your home, because I have a studio in my home and my
beautiful
office is
studio.
In my home. Thank you. So there's a percentage of that you can write off. And so I'm pretty organized, I guess, in that realm.
Excellent. All right. Terrific. Give us a little bit more information about like your background. How did you grow up? How big was your family? Or
I came from a family of four. I had one brother. Grew up not too far from here. And that's also because I bought my grandmother's house here in Golden Valley. So I grew up in Robbinsdale, and I bought another house first, but then I ended up back here in grandma's house. So that's it.
It's a beautiful house. All right. And what were your interests as a child?
Always art. You know, I'm one of those people that, you know, I probably did my fair share of building blocks and some dolls and, you know, different things, including my brother's trucks and matchbox cars and Hot Wheels and all that. But what is for sure is that I was, I guess, a budding artist from the time I was just a little kid. And I think that my favorite toy was probably paper and crayons. Okay. And my father would bring home just reams and reams of paper that he would get in this warehouse that he worked in. And I would just go through that, you know, and draw things. Hmm.
Did you get awards in elementary, or were there any mentors that kind of nurtured you along?
Oh, I think I kind of adored any of my art teachers ever because they had learnings that they could teach me that I was anxious to know about. So I would say that they were all mentors for sure. I guess awards, I don't know. I guess I was always one of the people who was known as the artist,
okay.
you know, and... Mm-hmm. Things that you came up to do in elementary school, like the bulletin board, I was there, you know,
or, okay.
you know, things like that. On through high school, you know, doing a painting for, unfortunately, one of our other students got hit by a car and was killed.
Oh, my gosh.
But they asked me, would I do a watercolor painting for her, and they put it in the library. So I was just always doing art-related things in whatever capacity. So I was just
very
known
meaningful
as the artist.
Work. That you were doing.
Yeah, that
you
know, that felt good to be asked to do that and just honor a student, you know, in that
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Wow. And how old were you when you started your freelance work?
26 maybe.
Did you go to a fine arts school or
I actually went to a fine arts school all through high school, from 9th to 12th grade. There was a place called Atelier Lac, and they studied in the style of the old masters. So I learned how to draw based on really classic kinds of teachings, you know, like positive space and negative space. And I'm sure most people know what that is. Positive space, like if you draw a coffee cup, the coffee cup itself is the positive space. But if you look at the handle, that oval or circle of space that's in between the handle and the cup itself, that's the negative space.
Oh.
And all the space around it, and whatever you're viewing, you're looking at things that are both objects and then the sort of space around or the lack of objects. So it's just a way of teaching an art student how to look in space to see if they're drawing something accurately, because of course this was a school of realism, so they wanted you to draw things accurately, you know,
sure,
and realistically and stuff. And then eventually it was to learn how to paint in with oils, you know, under the master Richard Lack. So that was a path that I took, and I just don't regret that learning at all. I just love everything I learned that helped me see the world sort of accurately and realistically and all that. And since then, of course, those were my guidelines to sort of break free from as well, you know.
Right, it really informed your way of making a living.
You bet.
It needed to be realistic, right?
You bet. Yes, realism was always, you know, a thing. I thought, oh, you know, if I want to support myself with art, you don't hear about that many people being fine artists and making a living.
Mm-hmm.
And so when, you know, commercial art and that world or graphic design was an option, I thought that was just the natural way that I thought I can do art and make money. That was just the way to go.
That's great. And when you started your business, that's a pretty young age, 26. So how did you pull together the money to start?
That was just from working hard and a lot of hours and making some good money at the time with, especially like I said earlier, General Mills. They kept me busy, and so I socked away some money and basically was, you know, self-funded my business. And that meant buying, you know, a computer, a scanner, a monitor, you know, the keyboard and all that. And that was $15,000. And so that was like what things cost then. So it's been great to see all this stuff come down in price, actually, because that was a crazy investment for a pretty young person. And of course, we know how quickly things go obsolete. But my first Macintosh was a Quadro 950. And it ended up being a really good model that actually lasted for, I'd have to think back now, but it lasted me, I want to say, better part of 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a really good model. It had some legs before I had to buy a new one and so on.
Yeah. But, wow. We don't have computers that last that long now.
No.
You know, with all the integrated and new systems.
I'm down to a laptop and I love it, and a wireless mouse. And
yeah, me too.
Again, that's what keeps you being able to do
mobile.
Your work from anywhere.
Yeah.
Yep,
exactly. How has art informed your life as a business owner?
I guess it's informed me to the extent that I knew that that's exactly what I wanted to do, and I was going to look for the opportunities that would allow me to do art for the money that I needed to have a career.
Was there anyone in your family that made a living?
With art?
With art.
Yeah, nobody in my family. Hmm. We have some entrepreneurs in the family, but not specifically with art.
Okay. And what did you learn from the entrepreneurs in the family? Did they give you an avenue, a possibility of what you could do with your art?
Maybe it was just part of the sort of climate I grew up in. I knew that Uncle John had a fudge company in Texas.
Okay.
And I knew that he created that, you know, from ground up. And so maybe that's what had me subconsciously know that I could go into business for myself. I guess there was no real directive to go out and do that. of course. That's probably
just kind of seeing, knowing,
that
he was developing a business, and that was
a possibility for me as well.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. And how have you married the concepts of generating an income for your art? Like, how is that? How did you feel okay? Do you love money? What relationship do you have with money?
Well, of course, I love money because of what it what if it affords you.
Yeah.
You know. But it's actually never, ever, ever been my driver.
Yeah.
And I imagine you might hear that from a lot of entrepreneurs or
Absolutely.
Freelancers
Everybody.
Or whatever. It's not. It's just not the driver. I was, like I said, always been driven to do art and the necessity of having to make money. Doing it would be great, because then I wouldn't be. In fact, you said something about predictability or something
Yes.
earlier in what you were saying, mm-hmm. and I wrote something down that said, I just thought there's nothing worse than predictability for me.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty of people who would want that, and they want to know that they're starting a 401k and that their company is matching it and that they have benefits and insurance and all that stuff. And I actually really prefer less predictability. To mm-hmm. me, that's when the, you know, light at the end of the tunnel closes up. I like actually having some of the ups and downs that there are to, you know, working for myself.
Would you say you like putting yourself on the line? To make things work, to figure things out?
I'm not sure that's how I'd put it, but I probably do all the time, right? Put myself on the line.
You absolutely do.
Right. And
but
I'm comfortable with that, I think, because like when I make good money and I store nuts for the winter, as they say, I'll store nuts, and if it gets slow, I've got that money to draw from. It doesn't make me uncomfortable. In fact, I'm fairly delighted when I have some little reprieves in my work. And mm-hmm. what I use that time to do is then go do my fine art. In fact, talking about how one informs the other, I actually feel comfortable when I've made a certain amount of money in my graphic design, and that makes me feel like I can go upstairs to my studio and really, with, you know, more freedom,
yes,
produce that. Because, you know, fine art, while I have had shows and I've sold some work and some pieces and so on, you know, you still end up with a whole body of work that also doesn't sell, you know?
Yeah.
And so the more predictability of graphic design and the fact that I still love it is still my, you know, preferred way of making money.
Mm-hmm.
And then it feels like the fine art is way more playful and fun and free.
Is that also a way that you rejuvenate or replenish your energies?
I'd say it's definitely one avenue for replenishing and my energies, sure. You bet.
And how do you take care of yourself? For self-care? To, you know, when you're...
Healthcare?
Self-care. So not in terms of, like... preserving your spirit, or is there meditation practices you do, or do you do any walking or running or praying, or, you know, what are your practices to kind of rejuvenate your spirit?
Well, I would say I do a little of some of all of that you just mentioned, including a dog. It sort of necessitates that you get out fairly frequently to walk, and actually those are very enjoyable for me, and just to walk around the lake. We have many lakes to walk around here. But I would just say that, you know, the world of living, you know, through my eyes and just the sights and sounds around me every day, all the time, is what is rejuvenating to me.
Mm.
You know, just the world is visually stimulating, and I just basically, I like to capture those thoughts in my little black sketchbook. And it sustains me when I'm actually not doing art to just draw out the art. And I'm sometimes I have sketches, and they're not worth anything per se as a sketch. But for me, they're a map to the thing that can be created in the world in 3D and the thing that I'm excited about producing.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes in my like nothing book, I have a sketch. And if it's been too long since I've sketched it, I've gone back and I'm like, well, what was I thinking there? You know? Mm. And so I've actually evolved my journals, my sketchbooks or whatever, to go ahead and have lots of call-outs and notes about what I'm thinking here. Like, this is a roughed up surface, and this I want some rusted metal in this piece, and I want really pumicey paint, and I want, you know, all things, and I write all that down, because that's all in the sketch and that's all in the thought process. And the more I write down in words and sketches, the more I'm going to be able to go back to that thought, isolate it, and actually bring it into the world as a 3D art piece. But it's the same, I guess, if we go back to graphic design and think about how does a logo, you know, form. And partly, like I said earlier about the adjectives, asking people what they want in a logo. Mm-hmm. The second I ask them that question, the process begins, you know?
Right.
Like, they can't say that to me and not have me start working on it. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to get paid for it yet, or they may not have said, oh, go ahead, I want you to start the project, but it's like, I can't help it, and I'll start anyway, mm-hmm. based on what's formulating in my head to give them as a logo, or like I said earlier, the piece,
yes.
the fine art piece, or whatever.
So do you feel some elements of your work are also then, like you're saying, with your journal, kind of therapeutic?
Yes. Yeah, and rejuvenating.
Okay,
and both. And like I said, like especially when you're not actually working on a piece, mm-hmm. or I'm somewhere where I'm working on my graphic design, but I get a great idea for an art piece, but I know based on my work schedule that I'm not going to be able to work on it until next month. That is so. I mean, it's like any, you know, probably any writer or any entrepreneur, if they get all of a sudden a great idea, you got to capture that until you can actually do it, because you've got all that other work to do in the meantime.
Yeah.
But don't forget that thought.
Right.
You know? So.
And keep developing it.
Yeah.
And see what it kind of morphs into. That's what I find myself curious about. Let's see what happens here. And
right.
What if I look at it from this angle and I'll work a little bit and then do something else, and
you
then
bet.
Come back to it. And the ideas that keep pressing and don't go away, those
right.
are the ones that seem to resonate enough that it's worth pursuing. Like, what else should I be doing with this?
You bet.
And in which way should I, you know, shape
right.
it? To,
in all the conscious ways that, like you said, you do that, but also all the putting it in the incubator, as they say.
Yes.
You know, it goes into your subconscious, and then things come up and things come out. And,
yeah.
So.
Well, great. I really appreciate the time that you've invested in sharing your creative process and describing more of the intricacies of how you set up your graphic design business and separated out your fine arts business from that, and not separate books. Just separate entities.
Something like
you
that.
You know, or, you know, yes. Not separate entities.
Yeah, we're not going to revisit that, are we?
No, we'll...
I have an accountant. She takes care of it. That's my answer.
Oh, great. All right. So I hope we see you again and hear you again. I mean, I'll see you because you're my
you
neighbor
bet.
And
exactly.
we share driveways. Or, you know,
yes, we do.
We see each other.
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you to our listeners. And we'll just continue the journey next Monday.
Thank you very much, Nancy.
Yeah. Love you.
Love you back. Bye.